There's a traditional Easter greeting that goes, Christ is risen, alleluia, alleluia. So I'm going to invite you to repeat after me. Christ is risen, alleluia, alleluia. And the reason why this is traditional Easter greeting and why we do the double alleluia is because of how alleluia is a special proclamation of praise, of joy. It is one word that especially sums up all that is Easter. It's the word redemption. When someone knows that they have been redeemed, they are full of the Paschal joy, of the Easter joy. So that's why during this Easter season, we're going to be reflecting on the message of the word redemption. And we're going to be unpacking what exactly redemption means. Redemption is when someone realizes how they have been saved by Christ. Now, we can hear in society when we talk about redemption stories, they're people who had fallen oftentimes into various vices, and then they let go of those vices, and it's like they experienced a new life. A pretty well-known actor that perhaps you've heard about has a good example of redemption story. Robert Downey Jr., better known as Iron Man, right? In all the Marvel different movies. And he's made news lately because of how he won an Oscar for his role in Oppenheimer. But he had a moment where he was basically a drug addict, and no one in Hollywood wanted to give him a chance. In fact, he even had to insure himself because no insurance company wanted to insure him as an actor. But he experienced a redemption story, a moment when he let go of those vices that he was struggling with, and he experienced a new life. Christ wants to redeem each and every single one of us. But the first struggle that oftentimes we face is that we feel that we cannot be redeemed. We cannot be saved from whatever it is that we struggle with. In today's gospel, we have three primary characters present: Mary Magdalene, Peter, and the other guy, the unnamed disciple. We just know that he was the faster runner disciple than Peter, right? We don't hear his exact name, though. The kids at the 10 a.m. Mass, when I said the other disciple, added in the other random disciple was the adjective one child added in. But it's not so random why these three are present. Mary Magdalene was a great sinner. She represents those who, before they come to know Christ and are redeemed and saved by Christ, have fallen into great sin. Depending on which gospel account one looks at, she was even possessed by demons because she had fallen so far away from God and so far into a life of sin. But Jesus healed her. Jesus delivered her. Jesus redeemed her, saved her from what she could not save herself from. And so she fell head over heels in love with Jesus because she knew of how Jesus had rescued her from what she could not rescue herself from. Her love for Jesus was so great that even when the disciples and Jesus' closest followers abandoned him, when Peter denied him three times during his passion, who was at that foot of the cross? Mary Magdalene was. And who was one of the first people to experience that good news that Jesus had risen from the dead? Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, among many in the Bible, is a redemption story. Mary Magdalene represents any of us who've ever experienced, again, a great life of sin and vice, but when we came to know Jesus and were saved by him, experienced a totally new life, a true life that God created us for. Peter represents those who come to know Christ. But then, unfortunately, something happens and they backslide. Peter represents the backsliders, those who face some trial, temptation, tough time, and they deny Jesus. Peter, unlike Mary Magdalene, was not someone who had fallen into a great life of sin when Jesus called him. Fishermen in the time of Jesus weren't always known as the most virtuous people, but it's said that Peter certainly wasn't who would be considered a great sinner before he came to know Christ. But even though he experienced all of the miracles that Jesus had done, he lacked that way in his heart that he had not yet fully allowed Christ to save and redeem him, and he gave in to fear when he was tested, and he denied Jesus. I know there are moments in my life where, unfortunately, I think in little ways, perhaps have denied Jesus as well, just like Peter, and could backslide in some way, shape, or form. Christ redeemed Peter even though he backslid, even though he denied Jesus. And this time, Peter truly allowed Christ to redeem him and save him, so much so that he became the first pope, and that he did not deny Jesus when he was faced with death again. And in fact, this time, he was martyred and died for Christ. Tradition of the church is that he was crucified upside down because he didn't find himself worthy of being crucified right side up like Jesus was because of how he denied him during that first opportunity. Then the third disciple, the other random disciple that we don't know. Just like Peter, he denied Jesus. What's interesting is he ran faster than Peter. He arrived at the tomb before Peter did. But Scripture tells us he did not go in. He waited. It's almost like he was hesitant to go in to the tomb. Whereas Peter, although he ran slower, immediately went into the tomb when he arrived. This other disciple, the faster runner disciple, is the one who represents those of us who we can say yes to Christ quickly, but then we pause, we hesitate. We have that moment of doubt or fear that can overtake us, and we don't go fully in to that place of the resurrection, of the redemption, of the saving power of God in our lives. And so we can experience that as well. There's different moments that all of us will arrive at the resurrection, of that knowledge that we have been saved, that we have been redeemed, that Christ is truly the Lord and Savior of our life. We all arrive at that at different moments in our lives. Sometimes we'll arrive at it like St. Mary Magdalene did, after a time of great sin and when we had a great conversion. Sometimes we'll be like Peter, and again we'll backslide before we really allow it to catch on. And sometimes we'll be like that disciple who ran quickly, but again in fear, we hold off. It's good for us today to kind of reflect, who do you think you are of those three characters in today's gospel? Another very interesting portion of today's gospel is this particular line. The cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloth, but rolled up in a separate place. That can seem like a very random detail. Why in the world was the cloth rolled up and put, and why in the world was that put into this particular gospel passage? You see, in Jesus' time, a master of a table would tell the servants that were serving at his table he was done by taking the equivalent of the napkin, the cloth, and would rumple it up. And that would indicate to the servants, oh, I'm done with this meal, time to clean up the meal. But if the master carefully folded that cloth napkin, then that would indicate to the servants that he would come back to the meal, that he wasn't done yet with the meal. So this tells us that Jesus is indicating to us he's coming back. Why there'll be a second coming, scripturally, comes directly from this folded napkin, because Jesus is saying, I'm not done yet. And that's an important thing for all of us to remember. Jesus is not done redeeming any single one of us. I myself am a sinner. I myself fall short. To sin means to fall short. To sin means to miss the mark. To sin means that there's a part of our lives that we have not yet fully allowed Christ to redeem us, to save us from ourselves. Whenever I fall, I try to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. And I need you to save me in this place of my life where I cannot save myself. And each year, he redeems me more. I enter into the salvation that he won on the cross a little bit more than I did before. I invite us this Easter to do the same, to allow the redemption of Christ to enter more fully into our lives, to allow Jesus into that place where maybe we've been afraid, where we thought Jesus wouldn't want to come, where we thought he was done. And to remember that Jesus says, no, you might not yet have fully arrived, but whatever place you've arrived in believing in me and desiring me to redeem you, I want to meet you there. I want to save you there. I want to be the Lord of your life there. And I want you to help introduce others to me. The Lord always wants us to keep returning, to keep coming back to him, to not be discouraged, and to look to the characters in today's gospel, those wonderful examples to us, to see where we find ourselves today, and to remember that Christ has risen. Alleluia, alleluia.